And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the master. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. Got a little Texans action tonight. Man, what a weekend. What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you?
The same.
We had our big commercial shoot today.
We did. We're going to be big TV stars.
Confidence level in how we did? What do you think? Where are you setting the level?
I'm going to set the level on a scale of 1 to 10 at 9.36.
Okay.
I feel pretty good about what we
did. Do you think our commercials will end up being better than Barry Warner and Dylan Gwynn's commercial?
Yes. Confidence level in that, I would say, is a 10.
Okay. What about John Granato and Raheel with Dell?
You know, Granato's done a lot of TV.
Right.
So he's probably pretty comfortable there.
And but that show is more handsome than our show.
Yes, it is. But I'm going to say, I'm going to scale 1 to 10. I'll go 6 that we're going to be better
okay.
than them.
Okay.
Because I think ours were entertaining.
What about Granato and Salisbury?
Oh, yeah, we'll be.
Salisbury's fun. Very famous.
He is.
He's a star.
He is.
Okay.
He's certified on
Twitter.
But
you're
I'm certain we're better than that.
Okay. So
we're the best show on the station. We should have the best commercials. That's my thought.
Okay. All right.
Doesn't mean we're going to, but I feel really good about what we did.
What are the odds that you are sort of like Peyton Manning and your confidence level is higher than your skill level at this point, and you think that we did really well, but you went in there and dead-armed a bunch, and we really threw 4 picks, and we're screwed?
Oh, I'd say there's about an 89% chance of that being
okay.
the case.
Okay.
But, no, I felt like it went really well, and those will be airing on Root Sports, and I'm sure we'll tweet them out and stuff when they're actually done, which should be next week. But got a chance to work with Chance McClain, who a lot of people who listen to the station know Chance, and it was a lot of fun. So hopefully we didn't come off looking like dickweeds.
All right. But yeah, I hope so, too.
I thought they were good commercials. I just don't know. Whenever those things are so out of my comfort zone because you're having to do take after take.
I'm the same way. I don't like doing that stuff. You know me, Fred. What do I always say? I like to do a radio show.
Yeah, and that's what we do, and that's always that's our comfort zone. But
this is what I signed up for, sitting here with a microphone doing a radio show. Everything else that's on top of that is not really the most comfortable thing for me.
But it's cool. Hey, anything that helps get the word out there about the Blitz, because let's be honest, the only way people find out about us is word of mouth right now, so this will be cool. We'll get out there. We'll get some commercials going, and maybe people will watch them and say, hey, I'll check that show out.
Maybe so.
And then they'll show up, and they'll either love it
or
hate it.
Maybe people will see that and go, I'll never watch that show ever.
Well, there's a good chance
that could
that.
Happen, you know, too,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You never know.
All right.
But they would have never listened anyway, so
that's true.
What have we really lost?
We'll miss you.
Yeah. Thanks for not listening. 713-780-ESPN. So, man, a lot of good stuff this weekend, and can we start with the Rousey fight? Because
of course. We're going to start the show with mixed martial arts. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
We'd never see the day where that would happen.
It's probably happened before.
Rarely, but okay.
Yeah, but I was kind of amazed at how early on in the process it looked like Ronda was in trouble. And I know you watch these a lot more than I do, and you're much, you know the strategy much better than I ever will. But just as a slightly more than casual fan, about 2 minutes in, I'm going, holy bleep, this chick has a chance. She was taking it to her. She was avoiding Rousey's takedowns. And it, from really about the first 2 minutes, she looked like the better fighter to me.
Yeah, this was there was a lot that surprised me, I guess, but there was also a lot that didn't. And I think it comes down to, what kind of game plan did you go in with? Did you go in with the best game plan? And I really think it can be summed up with, and it's made the rounds around the internet now, her Jimmy Fallon interview, where basically she says, this isn't going to be my easiest fight. This isn't going to be some chick that I just run through in a minute. She's a world champion boxer. I've got to be smart about keeping my distance. I can't chase her around the ring and end up getting head kicked. And then she did exactly that, and I really think what it boils down to is, and listen, I've been around a lot of fighters, and I understand how this ends up happening, but it's an ego thing. And, you know, there's these people who fight for their profession. It's almost impossible not to have some kind of an ego. And
no, absolutely. And, especially with somebody like her, who all you've done is destroyed people.
Right. I think she got to where, you know, the first round, she looked like she was getting outstruck, and it was not a good look for her, you know. And I think she felt frustrated. She took her down, and Holly got up, and I think she was like, this bitch, you've got to be kidding me. And her emotion started, and she's obviously a very emotional fighter. She almost cried at the weigh-ins when Holly put her hand on her face.
Yeah.
I mean, she's very emotional, and I think that she took it into the cage with her, that emotion, and it got the best of her. And when you're emotional, you tend to make mistakes, and she made tons of mistakes. And I don't know if it's more on her. I mean, a lot of it's on her, but a lot of it's on her coaching too. And Holly had a good game plan and capitalized. And, Fred, you know, I hate to be wrong, but it was kind of fun to see happen. You know, I'm in the unenviable spot of having always said, eventually somebody's going to get this chick.
Yeah.
She's not as good as everybody thinks. She's not perfect. I mean, there's a lot of holes in her game. But then every chick that came at her, she was just plowing through. And then eventually I was like, God, maybe these girls just aren't – there's no girls who are there yet. There's no girls who are ready to be there. And right when I got to that point and I was like, well, this girl doesn't have a chance, that's the girl who beats her.
Yeah.
So there's egg on my face. But listen, as much as I hate being wrong, it's always fun to see you know, an underdog story like that come through. And congrats to Holly, man. And she's already – you know, we talked about the odds of this fight during the week, and – it ended up at some point it was anywhere between +7 and +900 coming back on Holly, and Rousey was up to like a -1300 favorite. Well, the odds are already out for a rematch, and Ronda's a -140 favorite.
Yeah.
So they obviously, there's a lot of people who think that there's been a big mistake, because -140, Anderson Silva, when he fought Chris Weidman the second time, Anderson Silva was a bigger favorite than Ronda Rousey would be against Holly Holm. People really think that Holly Holm may have figured out the way, and that may be the end of Ronda Rousey, or at least Ronda Rousey as we know it.
And it wouldn't shock me, because once you get somebody that's been invincible, once you show those cracks, then it does change the game. Because she would always go into the ring, like, I'm going to destroy this chick.
Right.
All you have to do is create a little doubt. And if the talent level is close enough and the other fighter can start thinking, hey, I can beat her,
right,
then it could change things. I think it's exciting, because obviously the rematch will be a big deal, but I think it's going to continue to make women's MMA interesting, more so than it would have been if Ronda had just kept beating everybody. Now, I don't know if that's going to keep the casual fan coming the same way that, you know, like, I'll be more interested in the rematch. And then, yeah, the person I kind of feel bad for is Cyborg, because – I guess it's kind of.
Doesn't seem like there's a real need for her to be there now.
No,
right?
No, and
this is the same thing that happened when the U.S. and obviously Cyborg Ronda was the biggest fight that could have been made for women's MMA, and it reminds me a lot of when Brock Lesnar was the UFC heavyweight champion, and there was all the conversation was, can we get Fedor to come to the UFC? And Fedor Brock Lesnar would have been the biggest MMA fight in history. And then Fedor got submitted by Fabricio Verdum, and suddenly the interest level in Brock versus Fedor was about half of what it was. And then Brock Lesnar got knocked out, and then the interest level was just gone. So that's what's happened now, is Ronda's shown that she's not invincible, and it doesn't necessarily take someone like Cyborg to come in and beat her. It doesn't take an outsider, you know, and it definitely changes the landscape. And, you know, I said before coming in that I told you this week, I'd be more surprised if Joanna Jędrzejczyk lost than if Ronda lost.
Yeah.
And Joanna won again, very impressively, by the way, broke her hand in the process. She had surgery today to fix her broken hand. But I mean, maybe now there's a new face to women's MMA. And I still think for right now, Ronda is going to be like the showcased fighter in women's MMA, but you know, all the girls who grow up wanting to be Ronda Rousey, if the chicks that were Ronda Rousey, the little girls that were Ronda Rousey for Halloween, I'm guessing those costumes aren't as in vogue next year.
If they are, they'll have a lot more blood on them.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy how quickly it can happen. And, you know, there's no other sport like it where boxing. Combat sports, though, are different than other sports where you can win 100 times in a row and you lose one time and people start to question if you were ever really that great.
Yeah.
And, you know, if Tom Brady and the Patriots would have lost to the Giants yesterday, which they easily could have.
Probably should have,
but the Giants can't seem to manage a clock to save their lives.
Again.
But if the Giants win that game, no one's walking around going, maybe the Patriots aren't that good. You know, maybe Tom Brady's been overrated all this time. Maybe Bill Belichick's not a genius. Nobody says that. You know what I mean? When the Warriors lose a game inevitably this season, people will say, people aren't going to say, oh, well, maybe the Warriors aren't as good as we thought. Maybe they're just mediocre. In combat sports, when you lose, especially when you get knocked out, like when someone definitively beats you and there's no argument over, oh, well, the judges maybe screwed her over or whatever. I mean, Ronda Rousey was knocked out in the cage, like reaching up, grabbing for the official. People are already kind of like, maybe we overhyped her a little bit. It's funny how that works.
And look, fighters can have bad nights, too. And somebody texted something that was kind of interesting about some of the big upsets happen overseas. I mean, when we're talking about traveling to a different country.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot to it. And I'm not making excuses for it because Holly Holm had to travel, too.
Yep.
But, you do get out of your routine, and sometimes that makes the difference. And I don't think it makes her any less great. I think she just ran into somebody who matched up with, was very well coached, and beat her ass. And I do think she'll be back, though. And it'll be interesting to see if she's the dominant Ronda Rousey that we've seen.
Yeah.
That will be the question. I think she'll come back and win some fights. But I thought it was exciting, and it was interesting to see how people got into it. And
it's dominated sports conversation. It dominated sports conversation over an NFL Sunday.
Yeah.
And now, granted, it happened to be, at least on paper, a really bad NFL Sunday. But typically, these big, even big fights will happen, and then people move on immediately. And that wasn't the case here. You know, people are still talking about it today. You know, I've been getting tweets about it today. It's not a blip on the radar. That was a big moment in sports. And, you know, we had discussion today about, and I was saying that I had a hard time picking someone other than Ronda Rousey for most dominant female athlete. Lamont was bringing this up to me, and everybody was saying, well, Serena Williams. And I was like, well, I've seen Serena Williams lose before.
Yeah.
You know, Ronda goes out and she gets in the cage with someone, and then she quickly embarrasses them. And now, that to me, that's, you know, it's hard for me to say Ronda's more dominant than Serena because now I've seen it. I've seen her lose. She's lost forever that air of invincibility.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot to get it back. And the guy that comes to mind for me is George St. Pierre and what it took for him to get it back. Mike Tyson's another guy.
Yeah, who really got that invincibility back.
He got it back briefly because he fought a couple scrubs. But he also took off. But his last fight before he went to prison was a unanimous decision against a Canadian guy.
Yeah.
That, you know, I can't remember the guy. Donovan Ruddock is the guy's name. And a 12-round unanimous decision against some guy that Mike Tyson before we would have just expected him to plow through. So it's crazy how, you know, one moment can change the whole deal, but that's what seems to have happened.
Well, a lot more to get to on that, and we'll definitely keep it going next segment and throughout the show. But right now?
Attorney Gary Trichter, guys, I got to tell you about him. Law enforcement, they're stepping up their efforts with no refusal weekends. They can force you to take a breath or a blood test. If your weekend sucked because of a DWI, don't despair. There's still hope. Even if you failed one of those tests the police gave you, the breath or the blood test. A lot of things about those tests you should know about. Breath tests, they're inaccurate. They're unreliable. The machines make temperature assumptions that create artificially high results, and then it destroys the evidence that it checked, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. Same with the blood test. Failing that test in the other world, there's a lot of problems with that test. It's not done by testing your actual blood like a medical doctor would do. They're testing the air above your blood. It's a very indirect, very circumstantial test for alcohol. If you found yourself in need of his services, you need to know about attorney Gary Trichter. He's a DWI specialist here in Houston, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state. And what that means is he's experienced in telling the truth about these tests, and he's experienced in telling the truth to juries. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI or DUI, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone now. 713-524-1010 or visit TexasDWILaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from Tupelo's on Rayford Road in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And let's follow up a couple things from the first segment that everybody was talking about, that fight. I thought it was interesting. I was flipping around some of the other channels on the way in today, hearing it was just kind of cute hearing some of the other stations try to talk about the fight like they knew what was going on.
Well, listen, I mean, how many of those guys do you think watched the fight? They saw a replay of the,
yeah,
of the finish
that's
of the
pretty
fight.
Much it. It's, I will admit to this. I had an okay college football day, not a great one, but I'd won a little money on the horses Saturday, so decided to buy the fight because the place I usually go to was incredibly packed.
Boy, was it.
And so I buy the fight, and I'm like, you know what? I've got my account up looking at the money in there. I'm like, I'm going to put $100 on Holly Holm just because I'm getting 9-1. And, you know, I want an extra rooting interest. What the hell?
Yeah.
And then I chickened out, and I did it for 25 instead.
Well,
so it still paid off, but I actually had it punched in, and I chickened out, so... and then followed that up with the best NFL Sunday I've ever had yesterday.
I had a good NFL Sunday, too. That was good.
And that in Hamilton covering the two in the CFL, barely, that made my weekend.
I'm 5-5 in college basketball so far. I don't feel great about how things have gone. I didn't handicap any basketball this weekend because I was bummed at a couple games from Friday.
That happens.
I'll be back in the swing of it today, though. Hmm.
Yeah, I was 5-0 on NFL bets and 1-0 on CFL yesterday. So
nice.
It was, and my two biggest plays were the over in the Saints game, and then of course all the reports come out that Rob Ryan's been fired, but now
they're saying he's not. I don't know.
I kind of want to keep him there, and I know Saints fan doesn't at this point. I'm sorry, Saints fan, but it's made it easy for me to bet the over in every Saints game. I think 4 of the last 5 have gone over. And it's made it really easy for me and FanDuel to go and take people like Kirk Cousins whenever they're going to play the Saints, because I'm going to get a bunch of points.
Right.
So I kind of like him staying there for that very reason. It's selfish of me, I know, but hopefully he won't get fired.
Yeah, I was on the Redskins as well, and that team is just a mess. And I think people got a little overhyped when they played two games and it suddenly looked like maybe they could play a little bit. That team's just in total disarray right now, and obviously they've got to do something. When I thought they fired Ryan, I said, well, that's probably the best thing they could do.
I mean,
they've got a horrific defense, which it seems like they've had a horrific defense since he's been there.
Yeah.
And he's just found a way to keep skating by, but,
I'm not sure
what the deal is. We'll figure it out eventually.
They've got the wrong players on defense too, for what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And that's always a problem. And if you can't adjust your system to what you have, then you're going to see what we've seen, which is every quarterback that plays against them has a career day. And that's why everybody started talking about, the Titans and Mariota, that's a team that could challenge. No, they played the Saints. That's why he looks so good. They played the Saints. You saw what happened when they played a better team. They're not that good right now.
Yeah.
And you can't overreact to 1 week.
Well, the Titans were one of my losses this week. The Titans were one of my losses. What was the other one that I had? The Raiders. Mm. But everything else in the NFL went about exactly how I thought and exactly the way that Vegas would have loved. And, you know, we were talking about that Holm-Rousey fight. Vegas lost their ass on that fight because, I mean, you know how it is. You go to the sports book and you say, well, and you were, in fact, you were one of the ones who did it.
Absolutely.
You either see, well, I can put down $100 to win 700, or I can put down 1,100 to win 100.
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to choose the latter? I mean, that's not what Vegas is about. People go to Vegas to win the big one, not to put down $1,100 in hopes that they'll win $100 back. So I
almost never bet a favorite fighter. If I bet at all, it's always going to be the
especially
underdog.
Not at that kind of a number. Yeah. Whoever's betting at that number, that's just foolish. But the apparently the bets placed on Holm outnumbered the bets placed on Rousey by about 8 or 9 to 1, and Vegas just took a bath on that fight. And then, of course, they have an NFL Sunday where they make it all back,
right?
Because the biggest plays for, you know, Joe Blow walking around the sports book yesterday were Patriots -7 and Packers -10.
Yeah.
It didn't quite work out that way.
I loved the Lions yesterday. That was the one that got my day off to a good start, +10.5. And I didn't think they were going to win, but kind of thought they would cover. And the Packers going through a little bit of a bad stretch right now, clearly. But we'll get to all those games in the next hour at 5 o'clock. We'll go through everything that's happening. I do want to get –
we've got some college to talk about, too.
A couple of
these teams that thought they were big dogs are suddenly just vanished.
Yep. And we'll do that next. We'll do college.
UH almost fell into that group.
They did. But, boy, what a win that was. And how good is Tom Herman with whoever he puts at quarterback? I want to play quarterback for him because I can go put up numbers. That guy – it was just amazing how good that kid looked when he came in. And I can't say enough about the job that guy's done. And they're set up now, and I actually had a column written on it, but as usual, Examiner screwed me and ate the damn thing, so I didn't post it, so I'll probably do it again later in the week. But the next 3 weeks are going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, for everybody who's whining about, oh, well, Herman's going to leave or this and that, just about enjoy the next 3 weeks. They have a chance to do something really special here. And now, having said that, I will probably be betting on UConn this week.
Okay.
That is a tough trip. Classic sandwich game between Memphis and Navy. And I don't know if Greg Ward's going to play. I don't know that it matters if Postma plays anything like he did the other night. I don't think it really matters who plays quarterback for him. But considering that they lost their quarterback when they were down 20-0, they didn't have their best – I think he's their best defensive player in William Jackson, who's an NFL cornerback – against that offense. They didn't have him either. To come back and win that game was pretty impressive. But we got a lot of others to get to, man. We got OU to talk about with Baylor. The Pac-12 kind of falling off the map. I think they're Dunsky as far as the playoff. And some surprising games. That was my big college game was Oregon +10.
Yeah.
And had a little a little bit of a little money line action, not much, just enough for rooting interest. But the big bet was on the +10. That was
my big bet was Boomer Sooner.
Yeah, that one. I was on that one as well. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about college football. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from Tupelo's on Rayford Road in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Tupelo's, Rayford Road. Come on out. Going to be a great place to watch the game tonight. And Lamont on Twitter says, after seeing how prepared Postma was ready to play, last year's Ohio State quarterback play makes much more sense. Yeah, that was the thing that really stuck out to me, is that this guy did it with another one.
Yep.
And Postma's an interesting story. He's a guy who was a walk-on, then he went and played quarterback at junior college, and he came back, started the year as a receiver. The kid who was supposed to be the backup got hurt, and he winds up being the backup quarterback and comes in the most important game of the season and plays. He looked like he'd been there all year. And that's a credit to coaching. This is a really well-coached football team. They don't beat themselves. They get turnovers. They give up yards, but they get turnovers. They don't turn the ball over, and they put themselves in position to win, and they've got a lot of confidence late in games. And that's, you saw it against Louisville. You saw it against Cincinnati. You saw it again last night. You know, they get in a dogfight. They're going to figure out a way to win, and I couldn't be more impressed by the job that Tom Herman's done. And, you know, we'll see where he winds up. But
a couple people asking about Greg Ward. I mean, from what I'm reading so far, it's not a serious injury. He should be back for their next game. But he had an ankle injury, for those of you who didn't see the game, in the second quarter and left the game, didn't come back. But from what I understand, he was practicing on Sunday. So, if he's practicing the day after the game, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I think it's one of those where if in an emergency, he probably could have come back in. He could have Roethlisberger'd it. But,
I don't know because, I would have viewed up till the end of that game as kind of an emergency.
Postman came in.
If Postman gets
touchdown,
knocked out of the game,
yeah,
maybe.
That's what I mean.
Right, okay.
Yeah. But, I think he obviously, he was getting beat up in that first half, man. Memphis was getting all kinds of pressure on him and was really taking away the things he liked to do. And the offensive line was just getting gashed. And then second half, different story. They made some adjustments, and that's what good coaching staffs do and managed to get the win. And I think the UConn game is going to be a lot tougher than people think. That's just a hard trip to be taking this time of year between these two games. And then I actually like their chances against Navy better than I did against Memphis. Memphis can run the football and throw the ball, and they're a very tough matchup for anybody. And even though Navy beat them, Navy was able to get them down. And if Navy gets Houston down 20-0, Navy's going to win the game because they'll be able to run the ball and control the clock, which is what they do very well. But I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. So I'm looking forward to the next couple weeks with them.
George says, any thoughts on Trump saying Ronda Rousey was a bad person? Ronda Rousey endorsed Bernie Sanders the week before she got beat, so I'm not surprised that Donald Trump would say that.
I have no thoughts on that.
Let's see. TJ talking about the Cowboys losing in style. A lot of people are already talking about the Cowboys. Maybe we haven't even mentioned that the Texans are playing tonight.
We mentioned that at the top of the show.
Okay.
And I guess the one thing that we saw the story come out this weekend that Bill O'Brien's interested in the Maryland job. To me, all that does is confirm that there is definitely a power struggle going on with him and Rick Smith. Because that's the kind of thing you have your agent leak so that you can let the team know that, hey, if I don't get my way here at the end of the season, I could go somewhere else. And what a mess. What a mess. That this is what it's come down to is you got this power struggle behind the scenes between these two guys.
Where do you think that rumor comes from?
Who have both done a bad job.
You think it comes from his agent?
It comes from his agent, absolutely. Okay. His agent called Maryland and said, hey, we'd be interested. It gets leaked. You know how this stuff works. It's a very common thing.
Yep.
And, then the report comes out and sources would say he'd be interested in that. He coached there. I'm sure every place that he coached at one point or another, his name will pop up.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue to pop up until something happens with Rick Smith. And if I'm the Texans, for one thing, Rick Smith's got to go anyway. But if I'm Bob McNair, Bill O'Brien wants to play those games, I'll just, bye.
Yeah.
Go enjoy it.
Well, isn't he under a contract, or did I miss something?
He is.
Okay.
But
just curious.
Yeah. Unlike us, those guys don't hold to their contracts.
Gotcha.
But I'd let him walk. What has he done? If the alternative is let's give this guy more power?
Oh, no.
Absolutely not. What has he done to earn that? What has he shown you that says, hey, we're going to let him do what Chip Kelly did in Philadelphia? Because how did that work out?
Hasn't.
We're going to tear up the whole roster and bring in guys that I want. Well, you know what? I thought you already did that. We'll see what happens, but I think that's it's just another bad look. And did you see the story where apparently he admitted that he made a mistake by benching Brian Hoyer?
I have not seen that.
Yeah, he apparently in a team.
Who said that a long time ago?
I think a couple people said that a long time ago.
Funny.
But he came out apparently at a team meeting last week and said it was a mistake to make that move when he did. Which, okay. And everybody says, you guys can't be as smart as Bill O'Brien. Well, did we not say that at the time?
Yeah.
That was not second guessing. That was first guessing.
Well, at least he's learning, right?
Yeah, well, it's on him.
Did you see that the NFL came out today and said that they messed up on the Jags-Ravens game and it should have been over and the Jags shouldn't have had a chance to kick the game-winning field goal?
I did see that, yeah. Mm.
That's rough, man. And not that the Ravens were, in the playoff mix or anything.
Right.
But that's a game-deciding mistake. Not like an indirectly game-deciding mistake. That's a directly game-deciding mistake.
Well, is that any different than the Miami-Duke finish where the guy's knee was clearly
down
and it should have been over?
Not really.
I understand there's going to be a human element to this stuff, but, again, that's another thing. Can't you go back and look at that at the time?
Yeah.
I don't understand why.
Well, I mean, this was you call a false start, and then they call, give the face mask anyway. I mean, there's pretty simple that there's a runoff after that
right.
Penalty, but I don't understand. No. Officiating is getting worse and worse every week, and, you know, the Seattle-Arizona game last night, it seemed like those guys had no idea what they're doing. And that's a crew that was assigned to a game that's going to be nationally televised in prime time. You'd think they put the best guys they could out there. It doesn't seem like anybody knows what's going on.
Yeah. But this has been going on for a long time. And you know what? You know when we actually talked about it was when they had the replacement refs. That's when everybody talked about it. But
gotta get those scabs back in.
You've got the same kind of mistakes going on with the guys who were there every week, and they have been for years. And, yeah, it seems to me some of the stuff that's happening is pretty basic. Now, some of the other stuff, like what's a catch and what's not, I got no clue.
No.
I couldn't tell you. And some of the things that – some of the plays that happen, you just kind of go – oh, well. I mean, I don't know. I was watching the Beckham thing, and it's like, I don't know if that's a catch or not.
Yeah.
And it looked like it. Looked like he had the ball. He got it down, feet down, made a move, then gets knocked out.
Well, there's a few that people didn't know if it was a catch or not.
Yeah, I honestly thought he had it. But anyway, 713-780, ESPN, 713-780-3776. And, yeah, it's always easy to talk about the refs, especially when your team loses. And you're always going to see it through that perspective. I tend to see it as incompetence both ways in most games. But when it starts costing teams games, and, I mean, not just, you know, not in a sort of tangential way, but in a very obvious way, that's a problem, man.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN. Texter says, how does it feel to know you two lost that caller last week? A lot of money. He wanted to bet 100 on home, and you talked him out of it.
I don't feel bad.
I don't feel bad at all.
I mean,
it's your choice to make, dude. And I always tell people, if I don't like something you're betting, don't ever let me talk you out of it. Go ahead and bet it.
Yeah.
Good luck.
But if you want my advice, don't be bad if I'm wrong.
Cause yeah.
Listen, if I knew all the answers, I would have bet all my money on Holly Holm. That's not the way it works.
Yeah, exactly. If you were Nostradamus, that's what you would have
done. Would have been nice.
But no, I never feel bad about any of that because, for one thing, you know, I make my own bets. I get advice from people, but I make my own bets, and I live with the results one way or the other. And we put people on a lot more winners than we do losers. So, and there'll always be somebody who complains about every loser, no matter how well you do. I don't care. I mean, the bottom line is you should always learn to bet on your own, and that's why you should pick up that great book that'll teach you how to wager, a great audio book. It's available on podcastarena.com. And learn how to bet for yourself and make your own decisions. And, you know, but – I'm glad you're worried about the poor guy not betting $100, Texter. Maybe you should go give him $900 if you care that much. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. A lot more college football to get to. At 5 o'clock, we'll go through the entire NFL and all the games that happened. There were some very interesting results. And, you know, I want to do some college football when we come back because the playoff rankings, in some ways, you're getting some teams that are really solidified now. And you're also got some teams that I thought a week ago would be in there, certainly in the conversation, that are probably gone now.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that right now. I want to tell you about Houston Can Cars for Kids. If there's a kid who wants to drop out of school and doesn't know what to do, you know who helps them? The Houston Can Academies. This place is terrific, man. The kids will go over there. If they've dropped out of school, they get a second chance. And they help them get through school. A lot of them, really good kids that had to drop out because they had to support their families or all kinds of things happen. Well, now they get a second chance with Houston Can Academy, and they're graduating great, great kids that are going on to do terrific things. And what they do at Can Academies is they provide what the students need to succeed. Besides the classes, if they need glasses, they give them that. Sometimes they even feed them. If they need transportation, the way they get that is through your donations. And all you're donating is that car, truck, whatever you've got sitting in the yard that you've just decided you're not going to do anything with. And all you have to do is give them a call. They're going to come pick it up free of charge. They're going to take care of the paperwork. And you're going to do a good thing because they're going to use that money to help these kids to get through, to get the things that they need. And if you donate today, you're going to get a $50 gift card from Visa for free. If you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, it's just their way of saying thank you. And all you, if maybe you were going to fix up that car. Maybe you were going to fix up that truck. Maybe you just don't know what to do with it. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. Just give them a call. They'll come get it. Tax deductible. and you're doing a great thing for some kids. 713-225-4226 is your number, 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. And remember, right off the car, not the kid.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from Tupelo's on Rayford Road in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz here at Tupelo's. People starting to trickle in for tonight's contest between AJ's Houston Texans and the Cincinnati Bengals.
That's right.
This year's Blitz shirt commemorates a pepper spray incident and is on sale right now, available in black or navy and in sizes for all types. You can find it at the UT Co-op store in Uptown Park, or for stress-free shopping, log on to universitycoop.com. Get yours now and get your Blitz on. Those are pretty cool shirts.
I love them.
Yeah, I've got to get one of the navy ones. I've got a black one, but I don't have a navy one. And that's one of my favorite colors.
But what's your favorite color?
Black.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I mean, the whole slimming thing.
And, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I've always liked black. So a lot of stuff from the NFL yesterday. Peyton Manning has the worst game of his career, winds up leaving. Looks like he's got a torn plantar fascia in his foot, which means I don't know how long he's going to be out, but he's certainly not playing this week.
Nope.
And, you know, the Broncos have built themselves up a pretty good cushion, but it looks like teams are figuring out that defense a little bit. And
They've not been able to run the ball.
No.
Which is a problem.
And, you know, I'm not a big Brock Osweiler guy. I don't expect him to come in and do much. But he can't be any worse than what Peyton was early on yesterday. And the Chiefs, yeah, the Chiefs have righted the ship a little bit after, you know, a tough start where they had a lot of games against really good teams and they didn't come through. And they're playing a little better football, and even without Jamal Charles. I still think that the Broncos wind up winning that division, because everybody else is only 4-5.
Right.
But I think you're going to see them struggle a little bit down the stretch.
I think what's really telling about where the Broncos are right now is the point spread on their game next week. Broncos -1.5 at Chicago. The Bears.
Yeah.
1.5 points. Granted, it's a road game, but let's go back to what would this line have been a week ago. And,
right.
You know, and this is, I'm not telling you to go out and bet the Bears or the Broncos.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I wouldn't tell you to go out and bet either one of those teams right now. But
the Bears are playing better football.
Bears are playing better football, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears cover that game. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears win that game. But that lets you know how Vegas views the Broncos when Peyton Manning's either bad or out. And,
yeah.
And it's not favorably.
No. Get back to college. Will on Twitter says UNC and Clemson in the ACC is setting up to be very interesting.
It really is. I've been saying for a while North Carolina is pretty solid.
That's another team that they had the bad loss early, and then they've just pretty much run the table ever since. But he asked, would the ACC and Pac-12 both get left out? I don't think so. I think if North Carolina were to beat Clemson, that would get them in.
I think so, too.
I would say, to me, Clemson is almost a lock unless they lose to North Carolina, and I think North Carolina would get that spot. I think that either Ohio State or Iowa at this point, unless Ohio State loses, say, to Michigan State and then beats Iowa, I still think Ohio State might get in with one loss in that scenario. But I think it's going to be really tough for Baylor now.
If Michigan State beats Ohio State, it's unlikely, but if it happens and Michigan State wins the Big Ten, and
yeah, then they're probably in.
They probably should be.
And I think it's kind of down to, I would say, ACC and Big Ten probably for sure. I don't see too many scenarios where those schools get left out.
Are you seeing plenty of scenarios now where the Big 12 should be a little bit panicked?
Yes, because would it shock you? Now, a lot depends on if the quarterback's healthy, but would it shock you if TCU beat Oklahoma?
No.
No, it wouldn't shock me either. And then Baylor beat TCU, and there's all kinds of things that can happen down the stretch here.
If Oklahoma State wins out,
they're in.
They're in.
Yeah.
If they don't, the Big 12 is not guaranteed anything. I tweeted out on Saturday when Oklahoma State was struggling with Iowa State, I said, and again, it was just my opinion, but if Oklahoma State lost to Iowa State, the Big 12 would probably miss out on the playoff. And The reason I said that is, A, because I expected Baylor to lose yesterday, yeah, or Saturday, which they did. And it also, an Oklahoma State loss would have really hurt Oklahoma, too.
Yeah.
You know, because Oklahoma, they're still hanging on to the fact that they've got that game at the end of the year against an undefeated Oklahoma State. They need that. And Oklahoma went finishing the year with wins over Baylor, TCU, and Oklahoma State back to back to back was the only thing that could save what amounts to a catastrophic loss against Texas. And they really needed Oklahoma State to be as good as possible. And TCU, too. TCU damn near lost to Kansas.
Yeah.
You know how crazy that is?
Yeah.
The TCU almost lost to, not in basketball, in football, TCU almost lost to Kansas.
Yeah, and Iowa State gave Oklahoma State everything they wanted, and Oklahoma State was, that's another team that I'm impressed by the way they don't quit either, and they've had three games now where they've been down 17, they've come back and won, but you get to this part of the year.
But we also agree that team is not unbeatable. I mean,
they're unbeatable, but. You know, nobody's beat them yet.
They're good, but 10-0. I mean, when you compare them to other 10-0 teams, you're going, meh.
Not that many 10-0 teams left.
No,
though.
I just mean 10-0 teams historically.
Yeah.
Like you,
yeah,
you can't feel good about.
But you
Oklahoma
know what?
State,
if they get out with wins over TCU, Baylor, and OU, then they're deserving.
They're deserving.
Just like I think if Oklahoma wins out, I think Oklahoma's in.
I
believe that because same thing. You're going to have wins over TCU, Baylor, and Oklahoma State.
Although I think a lot of that depends on what happens with Notre Dame.
Yeah,
because as good as Oklahoma's finish would have been, is it good enough to bump Notre Dame, whose one loss is to the best team in the country, and you know that's the only flaw they've got? I don't know. I don't know if that's going to bump.
No, I don't think it is.
Especially because they're named Notre Dame. I don't know if it'll bump
them. And their body of work's pretty damn impressive.
It is.
They'll have some good wins. Now the Stanford game, I think, loses a little bit, but. That's still going to be a nice win.
It's still a quality win. Yeah,
that's a very good win over a team that's going to have two losses and may still be Pac-12 champion. So, you know, when you look at everything they've done, I would say Notre Dame's body of work more impressive than OU's.
Yeah.
Not as at least it's certainly right now. Now, ask me again in 2 weeks, depending on how they do against these other teams. But I think it's starting to take shape a little bit. I do think the Pac-12, I don't see any way you get a Pac-12 team in there now at this stage with
If Utah wins out, they're not in?
I don't think so.
I think they've got an uphill climb for sure.
Yeah.
I think they're the only team left that's got any kind of a possibility. But, yeah, I have a hard time seeing that. I think that the best chance that they had was Stanford, and that loss this weekend kind of ended that. So,
yeah.
I think that.
And Utah's got two losses, too.
Oh, yeah, they
lost Arizona.
They lost Arizona.
Yeah, that's the thing.
They're done, yeah.
So the Pac-12 is probably out. And it's interesting that Oregon winds up here at the end of the year starting to play better football when they finally got their quarterback healthy.
Too late.
Yeah, and because if they had just salvaged one of those games early, I think they'd still be in the conversation. But, you know, it's
what's really funny is, too, with the Pac-12, and, you know, nobody's talking about it because there's not a great team in the Pac-12. I mean, the only really bad team in the Pac-12 is Oregon State. You know, Colorado's been competitive in most of their games. You know, Washington is a pretty good football team considering they're 4-6 or 4-7, whatever they are. I mean, the Pac-12 is a tough conference, but unless one of your teams has to come out looking good,
yeah,
if you're going to make it. Like, playing in a tough conference isn't enough. Like, one team has to play in the tough conference and come out of that thing not necessarily unscathed, but at least with less than two losses, you know?
Yeah.
And no one was able to do it.
No, and that's one of the things we talked about earlier in the year with the Pac-12 is I thought there was a good chance that they would, you know, eat each other up, basically. And same thing with the SEC. I think the SEC is going to play out to where you probably have a one-loss Alabama and a one-loss Florida, and one of those gets in,
you
probably
know,
Alabama.
You mentioned the fact that Oregon's playing so much better now. Oregon's next game is USC, and they're in the same boat. I mean, a team that high expectations coming in and just weren't able to live up to it, and now all of a sudden they're playing really good football.
Yeah. Well,
and it's too little too late.
Sober coach. It could do a lot
yeah.
for you.
All right.
Yeah. All right. 713-780-ESPN, your number 713-780-3776. We're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, we will go through the NFL, every game from yesterday. We'll break down who did what. what's next for some of these teams? Somebody says Notre Dame beat Texas. OU did not. Simple. Hey, come on, guys. You know it's not that simple. You have to look at the entire body of work. Who did what? And right now, I would have Notre Dame ahead of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But because I think their body of work's more impressive. And it's not just, you know, it's common opponents is one element. But it's not the, oh, well, this team beat this team and this team didn't. That simple. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN.